Hello everyone, this is the second edition of TNA Impact Wrestling Analysis. My name is Levi D. Smith and I'm coming to you from the Knoxville, Tennessee area. First of all, I just want to thank everyone for listening to the cast last week. Had a lot of positive feedback, and a lot of people seem to like it, so I'm going to try to continue doing this on a weekly basis. Thanks to everyone who listened. So again, I'll start off with a review of Impact last week. The show opened up with a match between Bobby Roode taking on MVP, and Bobby Roode defeated MVP with the sharpshooter. This was followed up with Matt and Jeff Hardy reuniting in the ring, and they challenged the Wolves for a tag team championship match at Destination X. This was followed by the return of Low-Ki to TNA Impact Wrestling. Low-Ki was formerly known as Sin-Chi. Years ago, Low-Ki was in Triple X with Christopher Daniels and Primetime Elix Skipper. He took on DJZ and Low-Ki was victorious. Low-Ki came out with a new set of ring gear. It was sort of like a full body suit. It was similar to the ring attire that he had when he was in NXT as Caval. Some of you may remember him winning the second season of NXT, and he was it was pretty interesting. He did some skits. He actually had a rap where he claimed to be the only reason for some total nonstop action. So if you haven't seen that, you can check that out on YouTube. Pretty entertaining. He didn't stay with the competition very much longer after that. He parted ways and went back into the indies. But now he seems to be with Impact Wrestling for the foreseeable future. And if anyone was wondering on Low-Ki's ring attire, he had some Japanese words. In katakana, he had Ro-Ki, which since in Japanese there are no L's, and the R replaces the L, so basically had his name there. And also in kanji, he had Sekai no Senshi, which means the world's warrior, which is very similar to his Twitter handle, which is One World Warrior. That was followed up by a match between Magnus and Bram. They defeated Anderson and Gunner. Samuel Shaw was at ringside, and as they were getting beat up at the end, Samuel Shaw came in to defend Gunner. After that segment, we saw Austin Aries. He came out and met with Kurt Angle in the ring, and he had to make the decision whether he wanted to use the option C to cash in the X Division title for a championship match at the following Impact. And yeah, I thought this was pretty interesting. Aries sort of made it look like he wasn't going to cash in the X Division championship, and I kind of like the way that would have went. I mean, it would give a little bit more prestige to the X Division title if he respected that title so much that he wouldn't be willing to give it up for a world championship title shot. Seems like that's the way they were going, but Bobby Lashley came out with MVP, and they coaxed him into actually cashing in his title. So this week at Destination X on Spike TV, we're going to see that title match between Austin Aries and Bobby Lashley. We'll also be seeing an X Division title match in the Ultimate X match, and not sure if that will be for the vacant title or not. So that segment was followed up by Gail Kim taking on and defeating Taryn Terrell. At the end of this match, there was some interference by the Beautiful People, so they may end up feuding with both Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell. In the next segment, the Great Muta came out. It was his return to wrestling in the New York City area, and he took on Robbie E. This was actually a fairly quick match. He did the mist in the eyes of Robbie E. and pinned Robbie E for the 1-2-3. Then after the match, James Storm came out, and he started beating up the Great Muta, brawling in the ring, and it looked like Sonata was going to come out and help the Great Muta, but with a chair in hand, but Sonata, he ended up turning on the Great Muta. I guess James Storm just got into his head, so Sonata now officially aligning himself with the Cowboy James Storm. And also, it was interesting when James Storm came out. He had, it wasn't a new theme, but at the very beginning of his theme, there was some whistling. I think this might be reminiscent of some country music singer or some country music song. I really didn't care for it, but it may grow on me. I guess they had to find something since they couldn't use the "Sorry for Your Damn Luck" at the beginning of his theme, because that basically makes him a face. But, yeah, I think James Storm's been doing a great job, being a great heel, really getting the crowds upset at him and everything. And I got to say, I think James Storm is one of the best workers, one of the hardest working guys in the company. I know I've been to like 7 or 8 house shows this year so far, and Cowboy James Storm, he's been at every single one of those shows. So I think he's doing a great job. I was kind of disappointed in them turning Sonata a heel. I thought he was doing a good job as a babyface. I mean, he's out there acting like he's really enjoying being out there interacting with the fans. But I guess in a few of those X Division matches, he just really wasn't getting a lot of cheers. I know in some of the matches, like the one with Austin Aries, the crowd was chanting more for Aries instead of Sonata. So I guess they figured they needed to go ahead and turn him heel and align him with Cowboy James Storm to give him, a little bit more heat there. And this was followed by the main event. And in the main event, we had Ethan Carter III, EC3, teaming up with Rhino and Spud to take on Team 3D, which is Bully Ray and D-Von, along with Tommy Dreamer. So but a standard hardcore match here, a lot of brawling going on. And the match actually ended up with Gene Snitsky and Ezekiel Jackson coming out from the crowd and attacking Team 3D and Tommy Dreamer. So, I don't know. Some people have pointed out that Snitsky and Zeke are kind of appropriate since they were in the new incarnation of ECW on the competition. So, I think Ezekiel Jackson, he was actually the last ECW champion in the new brand of ECW. So, I don't know, kind of interesting. I'm not sure if I want to see that many matches with Ezekiel Jackson and Gene Snitsky. It's good to see him back for a little while, but I don't know. And also, I was thinking, if they needed big guys, I mean, they recently let Matt Morgan and Hernandez go. They're no longer in Impact Wrestling. I thought they would be more deserving of a spot on the TNA roster than two people that have never really had any involvement in TNA before. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Maybe those other guys will come back some other day. So, now for the ratings. The ratings came in after Impact Wrestling went off the air, and they actually had an increase up to 1.419 million viewers. And, yeah, it seems like Impact is on an upward trend again, so hopefully they'll just keep building on that momentum. And I believe the record ratings was like a 1.8 million viewers. That was the night. I believe that was the January 1st, 2010 show, and I think they ended up doing like a 1.5 on that show. But yeah, they just need to keep working on it, keep building that momentum, keep getting new viewers coming out and watching the show. So now on to news and rumors. So last week, I just want to fill in some of the things that I missed. First of all, Big John Gaborik, he announced that Brooke Tessmacher, Samuel Shaw, and Sonata have all signed new contracts with TNA Impact Wrestling. So, good job to those guys. Look forward to seeing their matches. I know Tessmacher is always exciting to watch. And we really haven't seen much of her since she was doing the deal with the Aces and Eights, and once she broke up with Bully Ray, didn't see her that much on television. She made a brief comeback for one in-ring segment with Bully Ray, and hopefully she'll get back in the Knockouts division and be hunting for the Knockouts title. Samuel Shaw, he's been great on TV for the last few months. Very interesting character. Can't wait to see where they're going with him. And we already talked about Sonata, great X division wrestler, and I think the future is bright for him. And also recently, Gaborik also announced that DJZ, Zema Ion, has also signed a long-term multi-year contract. I think he's another great X-Division wrestler, great personality, great character for the wrestling business. And also another signing, a guy named Chris Melendez. He is apparently an Army sergeant that came out of the Team 3D Wrestling School. He is also going to be signed by Impact Wrestling, and sounds interesting. Look forward to seeing what this guy can do. I believe he was on the recent New York City tapings, so I believe if he's not on the upcoming Impact, we should see him on TV before too long. And also last week, I couldn't remember the name of Gail Kim's husband. His name is Robert Irvine, and he has been on multiple shows on the Food Network, which include Dinner Impossible, Worst Cooks in America, Restaurant Impossible, and Restaurant Express. And yeah, I was checking out this guy, man. This guy is like seriously built. Looks like he takes care of himself. He eats well, knows how to cook, and I think TNA had probably just missed an opportunity. They could have got him in the ring with Gail Kim, and maybe back when she was heel, they could have taken maybe ODB and Eric Young on as a team. I think that would have been an interesting match, had some interesting interaction between those two teams. But, yeah, maybe they'll do that sometime in the future. So the big controversy this week, which broke on Sunday evening, is the Spike TV and TNA negotiations for the new TV contract. And yeah, so late Sunday night, there were some rumblings on Twitter. Somebody came out and said, oh, well, there's going to be big news breaking out later tonight, and saying, oh, well, history may be repeating itself, and a bunch of hogwash like that. And it wasn't just a few hours later, TMZ came out, the celebrity gossip website. They came out and published an article saying that Spike TV had canceled TNA Impact Wrestling. So I saw that news. I was like, man, this is a real bummer. I hope TNA has a new partner lined up. But it's just kind of fishy because neither side acknowledged anything. So it came out the next day. People were like wondering, hey, what's going on here? We're not hearing anything from Dixie Carter or Viacom, the parent of Spike TV. And the next day it came out, Dixie Carter and also Bob Ryder announced on Twitter that negotiations with Spike TV are still ongoing. So TMZ just totally missed this one. I guess they just found some news, spelt with a Z, on a wrestling website, and they just went with it without verifying with either Viacom or TNA. They did post on the article that TNA and Viacom weren't available for comment, but apparently Dixie Carter and Bob Ryder came out the next day, said they're still negotiating, and also Viacom on their website, they also confirmed that negotiations are still going on with TNA Impact Wrestling. So yeah, hopefully they work things out. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if TNA finds a new home. I do know that UTA, I believe that stands for United Talent Agency, is doing the negotiations for TNA Impact Wrestling. So The rumor going around is that TNA currently makes $65,000 per hour of programming for Spike TV, and they were wanting to up that number to $100,000 per episode. That's just a rumor. It's out there. Don't know if it's true or not. I just thought that the way that TMZ broke the story, I just didn't care for that. How they just said, hey, Spike TV has canceled TNA. Well, maybe they just, negotiations broke down. Maybe TNA found a new partner. It's just a bunch of rumors they put out there. But I guess that's the type of thing that TMZ does. They just go out there and post these outlandish stories and just hope that some of them are right. But we'll see how that goes. If TNA, if they don't renew with Spike TV and Viacom, there are a few other options I think that are out there. I mean, ideally, ESPN, biggest sports network out there, owned by Disney Corporation, I think they would be an excellent partner for TNA. Even if they're only on ESPN2, I think that would still be great for TNA. I don't know if they would want to get into wrestling, but I definitely think that that would be their number one choice, aside from an actual broadcast network. I think True TV, I think they would be a great partner for TNA. I could just see a show like Hardcore Pawn leading into Impact Wrestling. They got a lot of unique programming on that channel. Some of it's kind of, I would call it pseudo-reality programming. Hey, it may not all be real, but based on real situations that you could imagine seeing in real life, kind of like suspending disbelief while you're watching these shows. Hey, you know, yeah, you know that it might be acted out, but, and I think that shares a lot with professional wrestling. So I think True TV, I think they would be a great network. Some people have recommended FX or the new channel FXX. I think those would be good partners as well, but I think FX is more of a movie channel. I kind of think of them as showing like comic book movies and things like that. So there might be a crossover audience. I don't know about FXX. It sounds like they have just a bunch of syndicated programs right now. And on my cable provider, it's like channel 725. So I don't think FXX really has that great of a market share right now. So, and also, some people have recommended some of the Turner networks like TNT or TBS. I loved watching those channels back in the day, WCW Monday Nitro, Thursday Night or Wednesday Night Thunder, and WCW Saturday Night on TBS. I think they were great for wrestling back in the 90s, but I'm just not sure if they want to get back into the wrestling business. I know TNT, you know, they have to be missing those huge numbers that Monday Nitro was pulling in. I mean, they were pulling in like a 4-0 plus every week with Monday Nitro for a few years there. And but it seems like they've just taken a new direction, and I don't see wrestling returning to that channel. I know they do well with NBA basketball, but that's just a small portion of the year with the NBA playoffs. And it wouldn't be bad if TNA re-signs with Spike, but there are some cons to Spike TV. One is like the constant pushing of their own products, and they really don't seem to advertise TNA Impact Wrestling that much. You're always hearing about Bellator. I've heard that Bellator is actually owned by the Spike TV network. And you know, some things they really push TNA to promote Bellator. I mean, I like seeing King Mo and Rampage Jackson, but some of the things like the August 1 warning with Tito Ortiz as the mystery character, the mystery wrestler, I mean, that just had Spike TV's fingerprints all over it just to push Bellator. So I really don't care for that. And Spike TV in general just seems to be in a decline. I really liked it back in the days when they had unique shows like The Joe Schmo Show and Mansers and A Thousand Ways to Die. Just original programming you're not going to see anywhere else. But A few years ago, as everyone probably knows, the channel G4 used to be all about video games, had a lot of unique programming, and people really liked it, but they went into this mode of getting rid of all their original content and just showing Cops nonstop. And that seems to be the exact same path that Spike TV is on right now. You got Cops almost nonstop on the channel. I don't even think they have the rights to show Star Wars anymore, so I really didn't. They have like a bunch of tattoo and bar shows. So I guess those are original programs. I don't know what type of numbers those pulled, but it just doesn't seem good for Spike TV. But it is a standard cable channel, and I would prefer Spike over like another, maybe a sports channel, the paid sports channel. I just hope that Spike or TNA stays on a standard cable channel. And if the negotiations go well, one thing that I would really like to see is Spike TV or whatever channel they end up on, I would like to see them pick up a second show. Not a show on the level of Impact, but maybe sort of a recap type show with some of the lower card guys. I'm thinking of like a WCW Saturday Night show. Loved watching wrestling on the weekend when I was a kid. I don't know why there isn't no wrestling on TV on the weekend anymore. So I think a WCW style show, WCW Saturday Night style show on a Saturday night would be perfect for whatever channel they end up on. And the other thing, if they do go to a smaller channel that's possibly paid, I'm not sure if they're going to get their core audience to follow them to a paid or smaller channel. Right now, they're getting over 1 million viewers a week. So I think if they go to another network channel, standard cable, they would be able to bring a lot of the viewers over to that new channel. And also, once the news broke of Spike TV no longer showing Impact Wrestling, which turned out to be a hoax as far as we can tell, a lot of people were saying, oh, TNA's going out of business, and it's just like WCW all over again. I think that's hogwash as well. Dixie Carter has a personal vested interest in TNA. It's nothing like WCW. At the end of WCW, Ted Turner lost complete control of WCW. He used to be the head honcho over there, but then they merged with Time Warner and AOL as well, and is basically the AOL Time Warner executives running the show over there, and they had no interest in wrestling, so they end up selling WCW. But I think with Dixie Carter having a personal interest in TNA, I don't think we're going to be seen at Closed Shop anytime soon. They just signed a long-term deal with Challenge in the UK, so I definitely think they're going to be here for a long time. It may take them a little while to find a new partner if they're not renewed with Spike TV, but I think the way they and they're managing TNA right now, I think they're going to be here for definitely a long time to come. And also in other news, AJ Styles, former TNA Grand Slam champion. He's been out there again recently doing some interviews, and he recently announced that he was making $350,000 a year under his old contract in TNA, and one of the reasons why he left was they were going to cut him down to $200,000 a year. So that's a pretty big cut. These guys, they got to pay their taxes, they got to pay their medical bills, so I'm sure they got to make a little bit to cover all those expenses. But $200,000, that's a nice chunk of change. So I can't blame AJ for leaving, but it would have been nice if he would have stayed. And also Daniels and Kazarian, they're also out there doing a few shoot interviews. And I just think it's a shame when these guys go out and they burn their bridges. How much are these guys actually getting paid to do a shoot video? A few hundred bucks. Is it really worth burning bridges with your former employer just for, maybe a few thousand dollars to do a shoot interview? I just don't understand it. But usually, I mean, these companies are good letting guys come back, even if they do run their mouth after they leave the company. And also, it was announced that Tajiri, former ECW star, Japanese star, will be returning to American wrestling and first time in Impact Wrestling at the next set of New York City tapings at the Grand Ballroom at the Manhattan Center in August. So it will be really exciting to see Tajiri back. Haven't seen him since the late 90s. And yeah, he was one of the ones, he was the guy that invented the tarantula move. Never seen that done before. So it's always exciting. Can't wait to see Tajiri back on television. In other news, Sting, Steve Borden, he recently made an appearance at Comic-Con. So this was like the first time he actually appeared on a panel for the competition. So it sounds like he's doing some things with them. He's got his own action figure now, and also he's going to be a part of their video game. But it sounds like he did a quick interview. It sounds like he's not actually signed to a wrestling contract yet. So it's interesting to see what will be going on there and if he will be officially wrestling a match for the competition. Also recently announced, British Boot Camp 2 in the UK. It will be coming up soon, and they're still signing new competitors for that show. That was the show where they found Rockstar Spud, so definitely they got an eye for talent in that show. And it looks like they've already got 11 people signed up for that show, so it sounds like the cast for British Boot Camp 2 is going to be much bigger than British Boot Camp 1. Can't wait to see that. And also, it's been announced that Vince Russo had some involvement as a consultant with TNA, but it was recently announced by Vince Russo himself on Twitter that he is no longer involved in any way with TNA. So, I don't know. I don't think Russo is that bad for business, but some of the stuff that I've seen on the internet, people saying that Spike TV canceled TNA because of Vince Russo. Yeah, I think that's just complete baloney there. So I think Russo has some great ideas, great mind for the business. But yeah, kind of hate to see him go if he was involved, but I'm sure he'll find other things to do. And also, it was recently announced that Cowboy James Storm is working on a project for Viacom. They haven't announced if this is a movie or a reality show or what. So I'll be very interested in seeing what he has up his sleeve. And finally, make sure to check out TNA Tonight, Destination X on Spike TV. And I know I got an email from TNA. I believe it was just like a mass email that they sent to all of the people on their mailing list. I haven't gotten anything from them in quite a long time, but got an email today saying, hey, check TNA out tonight. It's going to be good. Use the hashtag Spike on, or no, Impact on Spike, and also hashtag Destination X. And yeah, I have a feeling that the amount of viewers and amount of social media activity they get tonight may actually play a role in the type of contract negotiations they get with Spike TV, because it sounds like they're really pushing this show tonight. So hopefully they do record ratings tonight. Sound like it's going to be a great show. Hardy Boys taking on the Wolves for the tag team championships. Austin Aries taking on Bobby Lashley. And also the Ultimate X match. It just seems like it's going to be a mini pay-per-view on TV. So it sounds like it's going to be a great show. So definitely recommend checking it out tonight. So that's all I have for this week. I appreciate everyone's support of the podcast. I'm planning on doing these once a week. I'm hopefully also try to get this podcast on iTunes. I'm going to have to see what I have to do that. But yeah, just stay tuned, everyone, and appreciate everyone watching. Thank you.